Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
People, welcome to this Monday, June 7th edition of WKAR's Current Sports. That's right, it is June 7th, 2021. And what a weekend was it in the world of sports, right? Oh, it was a great weekend. Great weekend. I enjoy, you know, a lot of NBA basketball action. And last night's spectacle. That's what I'll call it because there wasn't a lot of boxing last night, if you ask me. It was a spectacle. The Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul fight. I stayed up, you know, not too late last night. They did a good job, seeing as though it was on a Sunday night. I don't know why. I still don't understand why they decided to put that fight on a Sunday night instead of a usual Saturday night. But, you know, they did. You know, trying to be different and, I don't know, attract as many eyeballs as possible. I guess they, you know, I guess the thinking behind that is that on Sunday night, most people are home preparing for the work week that is to come. So we put this fight on Sunday night and make it happen a little earlier than fights usually do on Saturday. Then we can get more eyeballs and we'll lower the usual Floyd Mayweather pay-per-view price from $100 down to $50. So I guess that was the thinking behind last night's fight, you know, in Sunday slate. It was entertaining. I'll say that. It was entertaining. But I must say when Floyd, you know, fought Logan Paul, who is a YouTuber, the entire fight was just underwhelming. It really was. I enjoy the prelims more than I did the actual main event. So, and I'm going to have more thoughts on that in just a second. But first of all, I just want to say I hope you guys had a great weekend. It was an absolute beautiful weekend here in mid-Michigan. We saw temps in the 80s and the 90s throughout the weekend. Really no rain, if any at all. I think we may have gotten some like early on Sunday morning, but you know the sun was out, the sky was blue. It was a perfect pool weekend. So I hope that some of you may have even gotten the opportunity to take a dip in the pool. I know I was tempted yesterday as I hit the gym. My gym is right next to my my apartment complex pool, and I looked over at the pool like, man, it would be really nice right now to take a dip in there. But I didn't. I came home after my workout and began to go about my day. But I really hope you guys had a great one. Also, I want to give a big shout out to the Dean Shippey Capital Diamond Classic, seeing as though the Diamond Classic Finals will take place tonight. Again, mark this down, folks, and see if you can get it out there. Now, I know that, you know, looking at the forecast right now, I know that it is scheduled to rain later on today, around, like, actually, like, right now, to be honest with you guys. It may be raining where you are right now, and it may last throughout the day. So there's a possibility. I'll just say this. there is a possibility that the Dean Shippey Capital Diamond Classic championship game gets postponed. Don't be surprised if you do get that notification. If you want to stay afloat as to what's going to happen with that game, again, the finals will take place, is scheduled to take place tonight at 7 p.m. at Kircher Municipal Park between Grand Ledge and DeWitt. Now, if there is any cancellation of some sort, or not cancellation, I should say postponement, they're going to play this game at some point this week, and they're going to find a pocket where there is no rain in the evening. But this postponement, if there is a postponement, you will be notified @_DiamondClassic is the official Twitter handle of the Diamond Classic. So keep it locked there, and you will be notified whether or not that game gets pushed. But Grand Ledge and DeWitt will be going at it, and Grand Ledge is just a powerhouse when it comes to the sport of baseball. Look, over the weekend, man, Grand Ledge captured the district championship. So this is what they do, man. This is what they do. It's going to be a tall order for DeWitt, but DeWitt has a really good team this year, hence why they are in the Diamond Classic Finals. All right? So keep it locked there. And I also, just going through some headliners here, I also want to let you guys know that the Michigan State men's basketball program has announced a few staff changes, several changes, actually. Doug Wojcik, he moves to assistant coach, and three former Spartan standouts are returning to the program. So Wojcik, who was an assistant under Izzo from 03 to 05, he returned to East Lansing about, 3 years ago, in 2018. He spent the last 3 years as a recruiting coordinator, and he returns to his role as an assistant coach following the department of Dane Fife. Now, the three former men's basketball players who are also returning back to the Breslin Center to be a part of Izzo's staff are former All-Big Ten guard Mark Montgomery, who was an assistant coach under Izzo from 01 to 11. So a long, long time. He will assume the role of recruiting coordinator. So he's taking the spot that Doug left open. Austin Thornton, who played for Izzo from 07 to 2012, he returns as a video coordinator. So Austin Thornton returning to the program. And also, how about this? Cueto, one of the most beloved Michigan State men's basketball players in recent memory, Matt McQuaid, who was a captain on the 2019 Final Four team and, of course, helped Michigan State to Big Ten titles in 2018 and 2019, he will take over as the assistant director of basketball operations. How about that, man? That's pretty awesome. So I'm guessing he's going to be like, David Thomas's like right-hand man, because the director of basketball operations for Michigan State Hoops is DT, David Thomas, all right? In addition, Garrett Bringingstool, who has served as an executive assistant to Izzo the last 2 years, he moves into a role as the director of operations and chief of staff. Bringingstool, he takes over the operations role from David Thomas. There you have that. And DT, he was a member of the 2000 National Championship team. DT will actually be departing after 6 years on Izzo staff. So again, I'm reading this release in real time as I'm giving this to you guys. So I didn't know that. I mentioned DT and Matt, in addition to Matt McQuaid. But David Thomas is departing. He will be, he spent 6 years on Izzo staff, and he's pursuing work now in the private sector. Thomas will be joining Podium Risk Management, where former Spartan standout Paul Davis is a partner. So Spartans helping Spartans there, and that connection there. But Thomas is moving into the private sector of the world. Again, Podium Risk Management. Don't know what that is, but I'm wishing DT a lot of success, a lot of luck there. I know he's going to do well. I know he's going to do well. Whatever success he has, it won't be luck. It will be because of his hard work. And, I remember when, you know, I first met DT when I had him as a guest on Current Sports TV. Actually, I did a dual interview, which is very a very rare thing that we did on Current Sports TV. But you know, every once in a while we would. And David Thomas, who was actually helping out with the Michigan State women's basketball team at the time as well, I interviewed him as well as former Michigan State women's basketball assistant coach Amaka Ogugwa, who is now Amaka Ogugwa Hamilton. She got married not too long ago, and you know, she is now the current head coach of the Missouri State Lady Bears basketball team. So, man, time flies, man, and so much happens over time, you know. You know, there's a famous quote that says the only consistent thing about life is that it's ever-changing, and that is so, so true. You know, nothing stays the same. We are always constantly evolving and moving on to bigger and better things, hopefully, in this thing called life. And just amazing, man, just looking back at the amazing people who have come through Michigan State University, who have gone on to do other great things in their careers and in life. So, but DT, wishing him luck there. And the final addition to the staff is Julian Stahl, Julian Stahl, who joins the team as Director of Creative Video after serving the last 4 years as part of the MSU Athletic Spartan Vision team. And Spartan Vision does an amazing, amazing job. So I know that Julian is going to do an amazing, amazing job. So here's a bit of what Izzo had to say about all of these moves. Quote, "I'm very excited to make the announcement for our staff for next season. This is the first time we've had some change in our staff in a while, but I think we have some great experience, and it means even more when former players want to return to campus to be a part of building our future. Dwayne Stevens is one of our mainstays and will remain as our associate head coach while overseeing the entire staff and bringing together a group I am really excited to work with as we start the new season." So awesome, awesome stuff. And there is you know, there's so much in this press release. You know, Izzo, he gave a quote when it comes to every member, new member of the staff, every new addition to the staff. And, you know, he did speak on David Thomas leaving the program. This is what he had to say. I'll read a bit of what he had to say about DT. Quote, "It's bittersweet to see DT leave, but I'm also very happy for him, Tony, and his family. He's been such a big part of our program for the last 20 years, first with a successful playing career here and being a part of three Final Four teams, four Big Ten championships, and of course, a national championship team. Over the last six seasons, since he has returned as our director of operations, he has been one of the faces for our program and someone everyone immediately recognizes and loves for the person he is. We are really going to miss his presence around here, but know that he'll be back and that he is truly forever a Spartan." Awesome words there spoken about DT. And yeah, that's the thing about DT, man. You meet him and he is one of the most down-to-earth, kind, humble, and witty individuals that you'll ever meet. He's a jokester as well, but he is so down-to-earth, such a great guy who really cares and has so much love for his family. You can see it. And, you know, I remember one day I ran into DT. I was playing some golf with my stepdad a few years back, and we were on the green of one hole getting ready to go on to the tee of the next. And on the tee of the next hole was David Thomas. And he was there what I think was two other brothers. You know, they had threesome going on. And and he ran over and shook my hand, and I introduced him to my stepdad. And just showing how much of a classy individual he is, man. He truly, truly is a classy brother. And he's got, you know, he's going to do amazing, amazing things. So a lot of changes for Michigan State men's basketball there. And, you know, I know that, you know, when it comes to Izzo, man, he's still grinding at this thing. He is still plucking away. You know, I must say it's going to be a little bit weird not seeing Dane Fife on that sideline alongside Tom Izzo and Dwayne Stevens and Coach Mike Garland. Going to be a little weird, I must say. But, you know, again, change is inevitable, folks. It really is. And just how much longer will Tom Izzo do this? Because, you know, last week on the show, I believe it was Friday, as I ushered you guys into the weekend on this topic, profiling all of the big-time names in college basketball that have decided to call it a career, that have decided to step down and retire. You know, the two biggest names being Coach Mike Krzyzewski, better known as Coach K, the famed coach of the Duke Blue Devils, and, of course, Roy Williams, famed coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels. He famously recruited the greatest of all time, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. You guys knew a Jordan reference was coming at some point in the show, right? Those two brothers stepping down, I believe it has a lot to do with how the college basketball game is changing, how recruiting is changing, how the transfer portal has thrown in a big, big monkey wrench into this whole thing, allowing college athletes to be more mobile and giving them a hall pass, right, where you can transfer and be immediately eligible right off the bat that first time you decide to hit the transfer portal. Pretty remarkable, right? Pretty amazing when you really put that in perspective. But that means you got to do even more work to not just recruit, but to make sure that the guys you do recruit stay. I mean, it's changed the game, man, and I think a lot of old school guys who are up there in age are looking at this and just basically saying, "Nah, I'm good. Time for me to hit the golf course." Now, Tom Izzo hasn't thrown in the towel yet. But I do believe, man, that within the next 3 to 5 years, Tom Izzo will be hanging up the whistle. I really do believe that. I mean, Tom Izzo right now, you know, he's 66 years old. He just turned 66 this past January. You know, in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years, he's going to be, you know, closer to 70. He's not getting any younger. And this recruiting thing and this coaching thing is not easy. And especially when we see Izzo on the sidelines just blowing a gasket at 60-plus years old, adrenaline pumping. And, you know, I worry about his health sometimes over there. with everything that now comes with being a college basketball coach, I mean, it just makes the job more stressful. And I think that a lot of coaches just don't want to deal with that. So I think for Izzo, knowing that he does have some horses coming in, he's got a lot of talent coming in, you know, this upcoming season is going to be a big one. I really believe that Michigan State will be, yet again, one of the best college basketball teams in the nation. I really do believe that. You look at the roster for, you know, this upcoming year. Michigan State is going to have a lot of talent. And we've been saying this for a long time, and I just going back to what, like the Miles Bridges years, right? I mean, even before that, let's go Denzel Valentine. Michigan State highly touted as a top five team, but they have come up short too many times. And I don't know how many times, you know, Tom Izzo and Michigan State can continue to get these high talent teams and continue to fall short until Izzo just says, all right, maybe it's not in the cards for me to win a second national championship. And he just gets frustrated and throws his hands up, right? But you look at next year's roster, and, you know, I had a conversation with my guy, Jack Ebling, dear friend here in the business. And, you know, I was a part of his radio show, and he told me that he believes that Tyson Walker, this transfer coming in, he believes that Tyson Walker is going to come in as the best basketball player on this team. And if he does, I mean, you know, Tyson Walker will be playing the point guard position. And we all know that Michigan State's big bugaboo was the fact that they did not have a point guard last season. They were shuffling guys around. We saw the now transfer Mark Rocket Watts even giving a go at the point guard position. That's a position that he does not play. He's a two guard. He's a scoring guard. A.J. Hogard gave it a go. Wasn't great. Foster Lawyer, he's transferring as well. So, you know, now this transfer comes in, and Tyson Walker from Northeastern University, a lot of people are high on him, man. A lot of people are high on him. Again, Jack believes that he's going to be the best player on this roster come next season. And he's not just a great offensive talent. He can run the offense, and he can play defense, and he can get to the free throw line. You know, he was named the CAA Defensive Player of the Year when he was at Northeastern. So you got Tyson Walker. You got incoming guard Max Christie. You know, he's a five-star, folks. That's a five-star. Michigan State had only one five-star recruit on their roster last season, and that was the often injured Joshua Langford, who didn't have a bad season considering all of the injuries that he's gone through in his Michigan State basketball career. But Max Christie comes in as a five-star guard. I mean, the dude can shoot, too. That's one of the best qualities of his game. So, you know, you got, you know, Jaden Akins as well coming in. You know, you're able to land Tyson Walker in the transfer portal. And, you know, if Walker doesn't come to Michigan State, and if he isn't the starting point guard this upcoming year, if that didn't happen and Walker coming to the program, well, Jaden Akins would have likely been the starting point guard, despite being a freshman. So he's coming in. He's highly touted. How about Pierre Brooks II? You know, physically, he'll be able to contribute from day one. And you look at all those new names and you pair them, you know, with this current roster. You know, I mentioned A.J. Hogard. How about Julius Marble, Madi Sissoko, Joey Hauser, right? Gabe Brown, Marcus Bingham Jr., Malik Hall. I mean, this is going to be a roster, again, that is among the most talented college basketball rosters in the nation. But again, how many more years can Izzo get rosters like this together to try and make a run at that second national championship? Because you just can't keep doing this and falling short of that ultimate goal. Especially with the way the game is changing now and the transfer portal and immediate eligibility and getting that one-time hall pass. And then the G League is trying to compete with college hoops now. And then you got to deal with name, image, and likeness coming into play, where I believe a lot of especially big-time recruits, those five stars out there, are going to be looking at certain college basketball programs and thinking to themselves, okay, which of these programs are going to be on national TV the most? Which of these programs will give me the greatest exposure that I need so I can tag it on my social media, on my Twitter and my Instagram, so that I can do maybe, you know, some commercials here, get a few endorsements there, where I can, again, using your name, image, and likeness to make money. When that becomes a thing, it's going to make landing the big fish in college hoops even more complicated. So again, the window is not wide open now. We all know that for Tom Izzo to win this second chip, right? That window is not even open halfway. I think it's about like probably like 3/4 of the way open right now. It's just a little cracked, where it's not shut. It's just cracked open just a little bit, where where Izzo has to take advantage and strike now. Because I do believe when Izzo is gone, I don't know who is going to be his replacement. But what I do know is that Michigan State men's basketball is going to take a major hit when Tom Izzo does decide to step down. It's just a gut feeling that I have. Unless you are able to land, a former player who's relatively young in the coaching game, but also knows what he's doing, like a Juwan Howard. If you can land a coach like a Juwan Howard who knows how to coach the game of basketball, but is also able to relate to the young men of today, and he can walk into a living room of a 5-star, 4-star recruit and say, hey, I've got a few NBA championship rings. Hey, I played with one of the best basketball players of all time that kids today love, LeBron James. I mean, there's not too many coaches that can say that, right? So I don't know what sexy name you can bring in that would have some of those same qualities, those same attributes as a Juwan Howard. I just don't know. Tom Izzo is a staple name in the world of basketball, period. Heck, he's a Hall of Famer. He went into the Hall of Fame alongside names like Shaquille O'Neal and Allen Iverson, for goodness sake, okay? So if you lose a guy like that, man, that's going to be tough. You know, and the same can be said for programs like North Carolina, losing Roy Williams, Duke, and losing Coach K. You are going to take some steps back when you are trying to replace a Hall of Fame coach. But what say you? I mean, what do you think of the new changes for the Michigan State staff? Michigan State basketball staff, and also, what do you think about next year, man? And what do you think about this window closing for Izzo? Because I think it has to happen soon, man. Because, again, in the next 3 to 5 years, Tom Izzo will be retiring from that position. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Call us and leave us a voicemail at that number there. You can also weigh in on social media. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News and leave us a comment anywhere there on our Facebook page. And also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. When we come back, I'm going to dive into the spectacle that was last night's Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul fight and what it says about the state of boxing today. All right. We'll also talk some NBA playoffs and more. You are listening to the Monday Fun Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I hope everyone is well out there. And a few of you may be rubbing the crust out your eyes still. It didn't go crazy late, but it did go past midnight. That was expected, right? But the Sunday showdown between Floyd Money Mayweather and Logan Paul had a lot of people talking. It was the talk of the night. Social media blew up talking about this fight. There was a lot of build up, of course. You know, they had media day. I mentioned this last week. They had media day at the famed Versace mansion right off of South Beach. That's where media day for the Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather fight was. Pretty wild, right? So it was held at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, that is home of the Miami Dolphins. There were, in total, including the Mayweather and Paul card, there were in total four fights that took place. We even saw Chad Ochocinco Johnson get in the ring. And, you know, Chad Johnson is a former NFL star. You know, former NFL Pro Bowler who made a lot of his cheese at the wide receiver position as a member of the Cincinnati Bengals. He played football for Santa Monica College and Oregon State University. 11 years in the NFL. Also played for the New England Patriots and the Miami Dolphins as well. So he returned to that venue in Miami, Hard Rock Stadium. Not as a football player, but as a boxer last night. And he survived. You know, he despite getting knocked down in his boxing debut against Brian Maxwell, he survived and went the distance in a 4-round exhibition. It was actually the first fight of last night, and I must say, I was very impressed with Chad's showing in that fight. For those that tuned in and watched it, I mean, Chad held his own. I mean, up until the knockdown, Chad Johnson, you know, he was able to land a few punches. He was sticking and moving. You know, footwork needs some work. But overall, I mean, Chad Johnson, he didn't just lay down in that fight, man. And you can see he did a great job. In the ring, you can see that his training with the Charlo brothers, they are famed brothers in the world of boxing who are still boxing to this day. They took on the challenge of training Chad Johnson. You can see that training paid off, and then he took that training serious. He looked like an amateur boxer in there. He really did. But in the end, you know, he would lose to Brian Maxwell. He got knocked down. Even though they're, you know, it's an exhibition, so there was no official reading of a winner. But we all know who came through with the dub there. So, yeah, man, that was entertaining. And then, you know, they had some other fights on the undercard that were really interesting, more interesting than the actual main event between Mayweather and Paul. But I really enjoyed the Luis Arias fight as he defeated Jared Hurd. That was a brawl. That was 10 rounds of uncomfortable yet entertaining television, because these two dudes just pounded on one another's cranium for the duration of those 10 rounds. Really, you know, they were so tired and so exhausted, they barely had their hands up trying to block one another's punches, and it was a war. You know, I was texting my guy Will, my brother from another Will, my college former college roommate. You know, we're really close, man. He's a big boxing nut, a big fight nut, period. You know, we'll sit up there and text all night about a UFC night as well. But anyway, we were texting last night, and I was just telling him that was the kind of fight that puts you in the hospital, even though you didn't get knocked out. But you are so damaged throughout those 10 rounds that's the kind of fight that'll put you in the hospital for 2 weeks. And I'm sure both of those dudes, Luis Arias and Jared Hurd, are feeling every single one of those punches today. They're not doing well. I can tell you that right now. But, you know, Arias is a guy whose career was on the fringe. A lot of people thought that he should just hang up the gloves. And he was very emotional during his post-fight interview last night, saying that, man, there were people that counted me out and told me that, you know, I need to just stop trying to pursue boxing. But here I am on the Mayweather-Paul card, and look at me now, world. You know, he was very emotional. He got choked up a bit. And, yeah, always bet on yourself, man. And that was the same message. It's kind of the same message that two other fighters had last night. And Chad Johnson and Logan Paul. You know, Chad Johnson at 43 years old says that, you know, he's got a great line that, you know, a lot of people are living, but not a lot of people are living, if you know what that means. A lot of people are just zombies, you know, clocking in at work. Working that normal 9-to-5 on the job every single day, but you lost sight of, you know, trying, you know, just living life, trying new things, being adventurous, you know, going after, you know, continuing to go after those goals and dreams that you once had. You're just living. You're just existing. You're not living. You know what I mean? And Chad Johnson is a guy who certainly lives. They showed him like riding a crazy wild bull for, you know, like 1.5 seconds. he's done other crazy things, including his latest here, hopping into a boxing ring. But yeah, just not giving up on yourself, man. And just trying new things, man. And Nothing is impossible, right? That's what, you know, Arya said last night. That's what Chad Johnson said last night. And then that brings me to Logan Paul, because that was his message as well. A YouTuber. Isn't it amazing that a YouTuber got the opportunity to hop in the ring on a pay-per-view Showtime event with one of the greatest fighters of all time, the biggest moneymaker in the world of boxing of all time, even though, again, I'm not a big fan of Floyd Mayweather, but that's what he is. Arguably the greatest defensive fighter of all time, which is why most of his fights, if not all of his fights, are just a snooze fest, because he's all about, you know, the sweet science, right? The art of hitting and not getting hit, which is, you know, hey, I get it, man. That's the name of the game, especially if you want to have a long career in this brutal sport. Hit and not get hit, right? That's what Floyd has been able to master. But isn't it amazing that a YouTuber, this dude, the Paul brothers, Jake and Logan Paul, who I really didn't come to know that much until maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, when they were among like the top influencers, quote unquote influencers, on social media, and their videos were going viral, and they were involved in some controversy as well when it comes to some very sensitive matters. But, you know, I found out about these guys on YouTube, and then you know, when I saw that they wanted to like pursue careers in combat sports, I said, you got to be kidding me. Like, really? And that they not only wanted to pursue careers in combat sports, but they wanted to fight off rip some of the biggest names in the fight game. I just chuckled. I laughed. And I said, that'll never happen. Like, why would any big time fighter agree to fight you dudes who have no proven track record in a ring or the octagon? Like, why would anybody do that? Well, there's one big reason that trumps all reasons, right? Especially when it comes to the world of combat sports, and especially when it comes to Floyd Mayweather, because, hey, his nickname is Money, right? And that's what it comes down to, man, money. How much money? It's a business decision. How much money can I make off fighting a Logan Paul or a Jake Paul? And due to their incredibly large following on YouTube, on Instagram, big-time fighters are willing to say, okay, whoa, this seems like an easy payday. You're telling me I get to fight you. You're a YouTuber. You have really no fights under your belt. This is slim pickings. This is an easy payday for me. This is what I do. I, you know, for Floyd, you know, he's 50-0. And how many fights Floyd has under his belt, really? I would have to look up, because, again, that's just his professional record. I'm pretty sure he's fought like somewhere like 200 fights, something crazy like that. I wouldn't be surprised. And he's looking at this dude, Logan Paul, and yeah, you look at the size difference. You know, Logan is a heavyweight, really built up, massive guy. But that does not matter when you are Floyd Money Mayweather and you have mastered the sport of boxing. You know, it's like an amateur chess player going against a grandmaster. They were comparing it to that last night, the announcers were. And it's so true. Floyd, despite his size, he was able to land shots at will against Logan Paul. Did Logan get in a few? Yeah, for sure. I mean, Logan, and the reason why is because Logan has, you know, he's not. Yeah, this is the thing about Logan, and Floyd said afterwards, he surprised me a bit with how good of a fighter, I shouldn't say how good of a fighter he was. And again, I'm paraphrasing here. I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but Floyd said that he was surprised at how good he was. In terms of, Floyd thought he was going to be absolute garbage, but Logan, who has been training for a while and is taking this sport serious, he's got boxing technique down at least. You know, his footwork was decent. He's got the fundamentals down at least, right? That's what Floyd meant. And he's a big guy. So, you know, you look at that size difference. Of course, Logan was going to get in a few punches, but Floyd and Logan looked completely exhausted. I mean, by like the third round, you know, Logan Paul is in the corner just gasping for air while Floyd Mayweather, you know, who has always kept himself in just supreme shape, doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, and he's 44 years old, you know, and in comparison to Logan Paul, who's in his 20s, I mean, Floyd, he was just having fun, man. You know, Logan's 26 years old. Floyd was just having fun, just smiling and just pinpointing his punches whenever and wherever he wanted them to go. So, slight work for Floyd. Slight work, and that's an easy $100 million payday. Isn't that incredible? I mean, that's incredible. When you think about the amount of money that they made off that fight last night, it just blows my mind. You know, for an 8-round exhibition, and I know some people who said that they weren't going to buy that fight. I didn't buy that fight, wink, wink. but I know some people that bought that fight for $50 and sat there and watched that. It was really boring for the most part. I mean, it's a Floyd Mayweather fight. You knew it was going to be boring, right? All of Floyd's fights have one main ingredient, and that's boredom. They'll put you to sleep. Put it on. If you can't sleep at night, you got sleeping problems, go to YouTube and type in Floyd Mayweather versus somebody and just drift on and go to dreamland, because that's what Floyd does. But it was it was a spectacle. That's all I can really say. You know, and Floyd, yeah, props to him, man, because he's an incredibly savvy businessman. He really is. He knows that a lot of people watch the Paul brothers on YouTube, and he knew that they draw so much attention, and he knew that if he fought Logan, that a lot of people would watch, and a lot of people would be suckered into watching him return to the ring. And he got everybody's money, man. And he's laughing his way to the bank today. He really is. But I want to get your thoughts. For those that watched last night's Floyd Mayweather-Logan Paul fight, you know, what did you think of it? What are your thoughts on how Floyd continues to kind of reinvent himself now into his 40s? Any thoughts on the prelims? You know, Chad Ochocinco, even though, yeah, he went viral for getting knocked down, but I thought overall, Chad Johnson, you know, hey, he held his own in that ring. So, anyway, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Call that number, and you will hear your voice right here on our airwaves on tomorrow's Current Sports, all right? But in the meantime, let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll have weekend winners for you to take you on home. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and we just got a few minutes here left in the hour. And, you know, I just tonight you got an NBA slate, you got an NHL slate. You know, the NBA and the NHL playoffs are really in the thick of things right now. Tonight you can catch the New York Islanders taking on the Boston Bruins at 6:30. And then at 8 p.m., you can check out the Winnipeg Jets taking on the Montreal Canadiens. In the NBA, you'll have the Milwaukee Bucks playing the Brooklyn Nets as Milwaukee tries to even the score after falling in game one. That will be a 7:30 p.m. tip time on TNT. Both of these games on TNT. The second game on TNT will be Denver, the Denver Nuggets, taking on the Lakers beaters, the Phoenix Suns. How about that? Denver, Phoenix, 10 p.m. on TNT. I'll be watching both of them. I really want to see how far Phoenix can take this thing. And also, the Brooklyn and Milwaukee series is very intriguing. I mean, James Harden. First off, there's so many injuries in the NBA, right? It just kills me. I feel like every game I'm watching, there's another big-time player that's going down with an injury. It's crazy. But James Harden, you know, he's the latest big injury. But, yeah, Milwaukee in the Nets, Milwaukee versus Brooklyn, that's going to be a very intriguing series, all right? Weekend winners. When we look at the weekend that was in the world of sports, and I bring to you who I thought had the best weekend, whether it be an athlete, whether it be a team. I even go into the world of entertainment, all right? I gotta first off, number one for me, and I didn't know this was even going on. I'm not even a big soccer guy. You guys know that. I'm not a big football fan. But I would be remiss if I did not mention that. The United States men's national team, they headed into Sunday's CONCACAF. That's a lot of acronyms. Nations League final against Mexico as a side heavy on potential but light on experience. I mean, they were tremendous underdogs, folks. But this U.S. team, they were able to beat Mexico 3-2 after extra time to claim the inaugural edition of this new trophy. It was a match that had a lot of twists and turns. A lot of people, when the U.S. was able to put the final nail in the coffin, you know, I was tweeting about the Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul fight last night, and a lot of people were tweeting at me like, Al, if that puts you to sleep, man, you should have checked out U.S. versus Mexico tonight. You know, it's a bit of a rivalry as well. It really is. And, you know, at the end, you know, the U.S. winning in a competitive bout like this against Mexico for the first time in 8 years, wow. Really important, man, because we all know, I give, every time I talk about like the Summer Olympics, every time I talk about the World Cup, that's what it is, I always bring up, you know, just how bad the United States men's national soccer team is, especially in comparison to the United States women's national soccer team, which is every year the best team in the world. It blows my mind. So they are the United States men's national team. They are my number one weekend winner over the weekend. And then, you know, number two, I got to go with Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul for robbing everybody. That was highway robbery, what we saw last night. Okay. And you know what? I gotta give one weekend loser. And that one goes to Jon Rahm. Jon Rahm, at the Memorial, he had to withdraw after he had a six-shot lead, putting up historic numbers at the Memorial. He had to withdraw because, man, he tested positive for COVID-19. Yep. Mm-hmm. So there's an asterisk next to that win. As Patrick Cantlay, he was able to outlast Colin Morikawa in a playoff to win that. This is Jack Nicklaus's tournament, and it has an asterisk because Jon Rahm was playing so well, and then he got notified. They showed a video of him getting notified, and he just collapses to his knees and says, "What? Not again, really?" So he lost out on a lot of money and a great opportunity for him to win that tournament. But had he been able to play on Sunday, he would have needed only a 4-over par 76 to win by one shot. He led by 6 strokes and was 18 under before his world was turned upside down with that notification that he had COVID-19. So Jon Rahm, my big loser, my big weekend loser, unfortunately, for the weekend. But hey, folks, we are out of time. We'll see you back here same time, same place on the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I want you all to be safe, be smart, and be easy, people.